Hi, I'm Dr. Joyce Starr, and welcome to Rights Radio and RightsRadio.com, where your rights have a permanent URL. Brought to you by StarPublications.com and StarPublishing.com, that's Star, with two R's. Our topic today, deadbeat employers and how you can force them to pay you. What happened to Emily could happen to you. The company she worked for on contract went belly up twice in 1 year. The first time led to a six-month layoff, but she was paid up to date. Belly up, too, resulted in a restructuring, a euphemism for, we don't intend to pay what we owe. Employees were fired without notice, and Emily was still owed $400. She was instructed to work when they knew they couldn't pay. Now, $400 is not a huge sum, but every dollar is worth fighting for. The new president, and that's a small p, he's mercurial, 35 and a former part-time worker, promised to pay. Emily sent emails, he wrote back pleading poverty, but her final email got his attention. Emily wrote, 2 months have passed since you last promised delivery of a check in the sum of $400. This is abusive behavior. You should realize that your own self-interest is served by honoring this debt. As for any future association with your company, thanks but no thanks. The president told her by phone, we'll settle on Tuesday. Come to our new office on the second floor. We want you to sign a release letter. The address was an upscale neighborhood. If they had money for a new office in a great location, why didn't they pay her during the intervening months? Now here's a warning sign. The president then told her, meet me downstairs in front of the building, rather than in the new shiny office, as confirmed by email. Bizarre, but Emily wanted her money. Perhaps the new office was tiny and he didn't want her to see it. So here's what transpired. Emily arrived at the front of the building at the appointed hour to collect her overdue check. She waited and waited and waited. No president. She tried entering the building. The company's name wasn't listed and there was no way to gain entry without a code. She phoned numerous companies on the roster. No one answered. Finally, after 20 minutes of pacing and dialing, one of the ground floor tenants led her into the building. The new company wasn't listed on a paper roster which was taped to a first floor wall. So Emily took the elevator to the second floor and asked those she encountered along the way if they knew the name of the company. Nada. By now she was feeling utterly abused by the situation and all players involved. That's when she chanced on a sign with the company name. She opened the door and saw the president happily chatting at his desk. Emily raised her voice. Now men raise their voices and women shout. How could you leave me out there? The president responded with the following tirade. How dare you shout at me? You're psychotic and I want nothing more to do with you. Yes, he used such a hideous word to demean a professional woman and 5 years of loyal service to the company. He set up the conflict, doubted that she would find him, but once she did, he was a regular King Kong. The president then said, if you say another word, I'm phoning the police to have you arrested for trespassing. He started to dial. Emily considered the alternative, conflict versus check, police versus $400. She would naturally tell the police to review his email, where the meeting was confirmed and reconfirmed several times for the office and not the pavement downstairs. She could have then sued him and what remained of the company for false arrest. But she understood the type of bully she was dealing with. Every woman recognizes the signs. So she said flatly, "Let's finish this." And then she spoke as little as possible. Best offense in dealing with bullies? Speak little, get out quick. What do I owe you? He asked, as if he didn't know. $100? Gratuitous meanness. That's what bullies do. She answered in two words, $400. Then he said, I didn't prepare the release letter yet. He didn't prepare it because he never expected to see Emily, certain that she would leave when he didn't show up on the pavement outside. He finally typed up the letter, wrote the check, and Emily departed. A crescendo for 5 years of loyal service and a bitter pill to swallow. But she had her money. Unfortunately, Emily's bank allowed late cashing at the after-hours window. She had something else as well. The new president, with a small p, handed her the original letter. He mistakenly kept the copy. But the one thought that was on her mind as she drove home was, if it happened to me, it could happen to anyone. Her motto, don't get even until you have the cash in hand. Visit our website at rightsradio.com to learn more about Emily and the tactics that she put into play. Emily knew that the only way to handle a bully is to stand up to the person. What does that mean? You don't have to respond in kind. For the bully to win, Emily had to leave without her money. But the bully lost. You have to keep a cool head when dealing with a bully. It's really hard to do because most are really good at bringing out an emotional response. Leaving Emily on the sidewalk and calling her psychotic was part of an attack, but she outsmarted him. And most important, if an employer owes you money, don't give up. This is Dr. Joyce Starr. Thank you for listening. Bye-bye.